morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, John Rahor and Jamie Jors. We're getting ready for a Packers game this upcoming Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. To preview that game, we have a guest on the line joining us right away to kick off the show this morning. We have Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us. Rob, how are you doing today?
Pretty good, Brian. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for joining us. I anticipated this being kind of the wide receiver injury report show, but apparently we have some breaking news this morning. Long snapper Brett Goode has reportedly signed a 3-year contract extension with the Packers. And I'm not sure if I'm ready to break down a long snapper's future with the Packers, but I guess given the salary cap situation, the Packers have some room. I expected them to have maybe make a contract extension this season, but I wasn't perhaps ready for it to be Brett Goode.
You know, I haven't seen that. I'm just driving into the office right now, but if that's true, it's a little surprising. I mean, it's obviously a guy they want to keep long term. They have not had, his fourth season as a snapper. They have not had one issue with a snap. I mean, remember the Oakland game, the Monday night game the first week where their long snapper went down, and I mean, they couldn't function. I mean, so, you know, those long snappers, I remember talking to Brett after that, those long snappers are pretty valuable. And I'm sure it's not a huge extension as far as financial ramifications go, but they've still got a lot of work to get done with Raji Matthews. The quarterback needs an extension, and you know, there's the whole Greg Jennings situation.
Do one of those happen yet this season before the year is over?
Possible, although I'm wondering if they all happen or some of them happen in, you know, January, February, March, April, sometime in there. None of them are expiring contracts, so it's not like the urgency is there. If I'm not mistaken, this Brett Goode was in his last year, right? I think so. So, yeah, I don't know. I think those, I'd put it this way, between now and a year from now, I'll bet you those all get done.
Very good. That's quite the bold prediction. Including Greg Jennings as well?
Well, I don't know. You know, this whole Jennings injury situation, maybe it's helping the Packers retain him and hurting Jennings' value on the open market. But it does seem like the whole Jennings thing, it reminds me of exactly how Cullen Jenkins and Scott Wells and some of those other stories progressed. Guys that didn't end up returning here, it seems like this is following a similar path.
One question that's gone through my mind this morning regarding Greg Jennings is, should it have taken this long for Greg Jennings to get a second opinion, and what does that say about the Packers medical staff? And maybe
that's
there's good reason. I don't know.
It's a really good question, Brian. I wondered the same thing yesterday. Why did it take this long for it to be diagnosed, whether it was by the Packers staff or by an outside doctor? Now, maybe these sports hernia things, or, you know, I don't know if this is exactly a sports hernia, but it's in that general vicinity. These things can be tough to diagnose. They're tricky. I mean, he's probably feeling pain in his groin, but in reality, it wasn't the groin that was giving him the problem. You would think that an MRI would, you know, show the whole area, but it's a very good question, one I don't have an answer to, but it does make the Packers look bad. Maybe look bad is the wrong word, but it makes you wonder just exactly why this thing took so long to be diagnosed.
Sticking with the wide receiver theme here, what are the odds Jordy Nelson plays on Sunday?
Didn't sound too good based on yesterday's evaluation. McCarthy said they won't even test him today. Maybe they would do it tomorrow or Sunday. Based on history, when they say stuff like that, guys usually don't play when that's the analysis.
Yeah, the Packers going to have put their depth to the test. So I assume Donald Driver and Jared Boykin going to play bigger roles against the Jaguars?
I guess. I mean, Driver, the most snaps he's played was 18 this year, and usually, there's, 60 or 70 plays in a game, so it's going to be if indeed he plays more, it's going to be a lot. Maybe they'll just use a lot of multiple tight end stuff. Maybe they'll play DJ Williams more. Maybe they'll play Tom Crabtree more. Maybe Finley's ready to take on a bigger load with that shoulder. He didn't play a ton 2 weeks ago. Played a little bit more, maybe a little over half the snaps last week, and maybe he's ready to take on a full workload, and they'll use a bunch of tight ends. But I think we're going to see a lot of Randall Cobb, a lot of James Jones, that's for sure.
I'm wondering about some of the other injured players on the Packers, guys who, you know, might be out this week but will come back soon, guys like Sam Shields and Nick Perry. What do the Packers do with Sam Shields when he gets back healthy? It's kind of seems to be one of those, good problems to have where they have a lot of nice young cornerback depth. But what happens there when they're at full health?
Well, they have raved about Sam Shields playing all year. Joe Witt, especially the cornerback coach, has really been pleased with Shields. I mean, he did give up the 80-yard touchdown in the Saints game. Bad play, just a busted coverage on his part, just misplayed it. But other than that, he's been really solid. They've been really happy with him. But now they have Casey Hayward and Devon House who are starting to emerge. I still think that Shields goes back to playing either his old spot or the dime corner that Hayward was playing. But I do think they want to keep Hayward on the field, so you could see some combination of Shields in the base and then Hayward in nickel and dime, mm-hmm. with Shields obviously staying on the field. And the odd man out there would probably be Devon House.
Interesting. How about Eric Walden? He's playing well. Is he going to keep Nick Perry from playing?
I think they want. I mean, he was kind of keeping Nick Perry from playing, as far as snap totals. He was keeping him from playing even before Perry was injured. Walden was playing a lot of snaps. In fact, I think some games Walden played more than Perry, even before the injury. I think they'll still continue a rotation there. Perry is the starter, probably because he's the first-round pick, let's be frank about it. But as far as both those injuries, my guess would be that if they're not ready to play this week, which obviously they aren't, why push him back next week and then only to have the bye the week after? You might as well take the extra week, and I would guess those guys wouldn't be back till after the bye.
Maybe give me a rapid-fire prediction here on the PUP list, guys. What happens to them this season? Are they back? Are they not? Are they cut? Or what happens?
So I would bet Gerard goes right to IR, never practices this year. Corliss is probably the most healthy and probably has a shot at playing. Not sure what they're going to do with Zampo, just because of their depth. He'd be behind Walden, Perry, and Desmond Moses on that side.
Finally, before we let you go here, Rob, talking about this game a little bit, which seems to be a bit of a mismatch, but is there any chance at all the Jaguars can pull this out?
Well, I wouldn't think so, Brian. I mean, the quarterback has really struggled. Their best offensive player, Maurice Jones-Drew, is out with a foot injury. You would not think so. It's funny because this feels a little bit almost like a preseason week in terms of like my preparation. And because I have not written one thing or really even read much about the opponent, I mean, which is how you treat a preseason game, because it's all about the team you cover, not necessarily who the opponent is. And that's what this week feels like. I actually need to get in the office today and do a little reading and research a little bit on the Jaguars, but I just don't see any way. The Packers are coming home after a 3-game road trip. It's been all months since they played at Lambeau. I just don't see them having a letdown.
I tend to agree. Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining us here this morning and touching on all sorts of Packers topics here, but we'll let you get to work.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks a lot. Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us here this morning on Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him, and thanks to you, the viewer, the listener, for checking in with us this morning here on the show. Great to have you. Great to have you joining us here. So let's get down to it. There's a lot to talk about today. Of course, Rob Domofsky, kind of stole my thunder on a lot of these topics here already, touching on most of them. But with breaking news this morning about Brett Goode, I suppose that's the topic of right now. You know, good, great, good for Brett Goode. I love the guy. He's going to be on our show Monday morning here on Railbird Central. We'll be breaking his contract extension down and talking to him about that. So, you know, the Packers, as we mentioned, they do have room underneath the salary cap. So, you know, there's this rule in the NFL. You have, like, till sometime in like mid-November it is, so, you know, just a couple weeks, in which you can sign contract extensions and they still count against this year's salary cap. So that's why the Packers are doing this with Brett Goode, and you know, why maybe perhaps they still might have another one in the next couple weeks, so they can apply that money this year, this season, so they, you know, they don't have to worry about applying it to future caps and kind of keeping some of that money open to those you know, contracts they'll sign in the next couple weeks, months, you know, as it applies to the, you know, the elite players whose contracts are coming up, guys like Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, BJ Raji, maybe even Greg Jennings, although we don't know what's going to happen with him. His situation, his status is the most up in the air. Our live blog director, John Rahor, Coach McPositive, throws out a good question on the live blog, and feel free to throw your answers up there as well. Who's the next to get re-signed? Feel free to throw your guesses out there. The next Packer to sign a contract extension, whether I think if you want to limit yourself to Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, BJ Raji, and Greg Jennings, feel free to limit yourself to those four. I think that's what we're getting at here. Not necessarily that they signed a street free agent or anything like that we don't foresee. But anyhow, yeah, interesting. And, you know, continuing with the Greg Jennings talk, of course, yesterday the news breaks that Greg Jennings is going to have, you know, surgery on his groin, which we learned the medical term is a rectus abdominal tear. And I'm no doctor, but that just sounds serious to me. Sounds like it hurts. And, you know, it's Greg Jennings now going to miss, I think I've read in different places, 3 to 6 weeks from surgery. And Greg Jennings is going to have surgery on this upcoming Tuesday, so 3 to 6 weeks from that point. Now, I suppose if you want to look at the positive side here, first of all, the Packers are playing an opponent this weekend, the Jaguars, in which if there's a game they can afford players to miss, it would perhaps be a game against the Jaguars at home, although you can't just pencil in a win automatically, I guess, but, you know, it's not something that, you know, the Jaguars are not this feared opponent. And on top of that, the Packers have a bye week in 2 weeks' time. The next week they face the Cardinals, and then after that they'll be off for a little bit of a while. So the Packers having a little bit of a break there. So, you know, they'll be missing Greg Jennings over that time. But I suppose if there's a good time for him to miss, that would be it, where the Packers are not having games or tough opponents in that stretch. So. You know, on top of the Greg Jennings injury, Jordy Nelson has suffered a hamstring injury this week during practice. I think it happened, if I'm correct, on the first day of practice this week, which would have been Wednesday. So, you know, he practiced Wednesday but got injured, was held out yesterday. I believe the word from Mike McCarthy during his press conference on Thursday was that Jordy Nelson has already been ruled out for today's practice, so don't expect to hear that he's practicing today. And the word is he'll give it a go, like be tested either Saturday or Sunday, and the Packers will make a decision on him then. So, you know, it's he hasn't been ruled out yet, but it's not looking good. It's not looking good for Jordy Nelson. You know, same situation. If there was ever a game the Packers could afford to be without Jordy Nelson, I suppose this is the game. But it will put the Packers' depth to the test. You know, James Jones and Randall Cobb will be getting a lot of playing time, and, you know, that's been no different than it has most of the season, although I suppose at the beginning of the year, Randall Cobb hadn't played all that much, but James Jones has, you know, gotten used to a big role here this year. And, you know, as they're talking about on the live blog here, you know, maybe that we'll be seeing more of the tight end here. John on the live blog says, great time to get Boykin and Driver involved. Also use DJ Williams a little bit more. You know, I have to agree. I mean, JerMichael Finley is practically a wide receiver himself. So, you know, whenever he's in the game, it's, you know, it's like having another wide receiver anyway. But yeah, I mean, for once, maybe we will be seeing DJ Williams perhaps get played a little more. I'd like to see him in the slot a little bit, see what he's got. I mean, I'd like to see him elsewhere as well, but always kind of interested. I'd like to see DJ Williams used heavily one game and see how he performs. You know, it's still been a situation where all year long, all last year, DJ Williams has really, you know, been no more than a role player. And I don't know if that's going to change, but, you know, maybe this week we'll find out, see how he does. I see on the live blog you're talking about you know, other skill positions. Protege for tight end says, I think Alex Green does a lot and probably some Starks. You know, interesting, a little bit of a depth situation at running back as well. James Starks got hurt during practice this week, and did not practice at all yesterday on Thursday. Now, I don't really know the severity of it. Maybe he comes back today. Maybe he plays on Sunday. But and on top of that, fullback John Kuhn has not practiced all week. There is a little bit of depth concern there. I mean, Alex Green seems to be fine. But beyond that, you know, there's really a little bit of a scare situation here, because if Alex Green were to get hurt, the Packers could be down to Johnny White at running back. The newly signed running back as of last week, who probably doesn't even know a whole lot of the Packers offense yet. So expect Johnny White to be active for the first time ever, I think, as a Packer this Sunday. You know, he'll be making his debut in a Packers uniform. But, you know, I don't know. But between Starks and Kuhn being, you know, losing Kuhn would be a big blow. Not that, you know, he's a big part of the Packers offense, but I mean, you know, he plays a lot, both on offense and on special teams. And, you know, he's frequently brought in there to be asked to be the third down back as a blocker for Aaron Rodgers and does a fantastic job. I mean, really, I mean, that's a big role there, helping to block for Aaron Rodgers. So it's, but, you know, maybe as long as Alex Green is healthy, you know, they'll just give him a big load, you know, and they did last week. They have, for, you know, pretty much ever since Cedric Benson has gone down. You know, what was interesting last week, even though James Starks was healthy last week against the Rams, he didn't play. He didn't play a single snap, which I thought was interesting. You know, I realize that, you know, it's all fine and dandy that Alex Green is your featured back and gets a majority of the carries, but I would have thought they would have played James Starks at least a little bit, you know, just give Alex Green a breather here and there, if for no other reason. But yeah, so James Starks healthy against the Rams and didn't play. So we'll see what the Packers do here this weekend at running back. But it's a little bit of a depth situation there at both wide receiver and running back, getting a little bit thin there at the skill positions for the Packers, and at tight end too. You know, when you, I mean, these guys look like they'll play, but I mean, Finley's dealing with the shoulder injury. DJ Williams with the hamstring injury. Of course, Andrew Corliss on the PUP list. Dating his injury dating back to last year. A lot of injuries at the skill positions right now for the Packers. And you know, I suppose this upcoming bye is going to come at a good time here. They could certainly use a bye, and use that extra week to get healthy here a little bit. Can we sit here and break down this Jaguars game? I don't know what there is to break down. You know, Rob Domofsky hit on the major storylines, you know, coming out of Jacksonville, and that Maurice Jones-Drew is hurt. He's their whole offense. He's their whole team. He's their best player. And, you know, understandably, I think everybody agrees Maurice Jones-Drew, he's good, right? But he has already been ruled out of Sunday's game. He will not play. And, you know, if they don't have him, I don't know if the Jaguars have much of a chance. Although, who's his backup? Rashad Jennings? Is that the correct? Do I have the right person? The Jacksonville Jaguars backup running back, who I have, you know, I don't know much about him, admittedly, but I've heard he is, you know, pretty good though, as far as backup running backs go. So, you know, maybe, you know, he's kind of somebody that could have some success. But, you know, Blaine Gabbert is hurt. Kind of an interesting situation with Blaine Gabbert. Had a very rough rookie season. This year, it looks like he has been improving at least, although still not at the level of Aaron Rodgers by any stretch of the imagination, or even, even a Jay Cutler probably. But, it's... He's dinged up, but he's going to play. So we'll see what Blaine Gabbert offers. He doesn't have a whole lot around him. So maybe a lot of responsibility is going to fall on his shoulders. Doesn't have much of a receiving core. Doesn't have Maurice Jones-Drew to rely on. So it's going to be tough for Blaine Gabbert to get anything going, I think, on Sunday. I just gave my official prediction. I do my... weekly Friday interview there on K107 in Fond du Lac, 107.1 FM. And my prediction is Packers 35, Jaguars 10 for a difference of 25 points. That's my prediction. And feel free to throw it yours on the live blog if you want here. I would assume most people will say that the Packers are going to cover the spread, which I've heard at times being anywhere from 12.5 to 15 points. So, from the early returns I'm seeing here, predictions on the live blog, everybody has the Packers covering the spread here, 38-0, 42-13, 55-3. 55-3, that's quite a big, that's a spread of 52 points there. Who knows? I mean, the way the Packers offense is going right now, perhaps they can do it. I see 31-13, 44-17. Everybody's got the Packers winning big. I assume this, you know, we're Packers fans here, but I would assume most of the nation, is going to be in that same category as well. If there's one thing working in the Jaguars' favor, it is that the Packers are so banged up. You know, something we haven't even talked about this show is, Charles Woodson. And, you know, one thing I just wanted to mention about Charles Woodson here, and I did it on Twitter this morning, you know, the storyline this week has been, how are the Packers going to replace Charles Woodson? You know, who's going to, you know, get his playing time in the lineup, you know, whether it's Casey Hayward at the slot cornerback or Jerron McMillan and MD Jennings playing more at safety, et cetera, et cetera. But lost in this whole conversation is just how durable Charles Woodson has been. He has not missed a game due to injury since 2007. I mean, it's just one of those things where you just rely on Charles Woodson to be there. You don't even have to think about it. You know he's going to be there. And the Packers are going to miss that. You know, you never have to worry about Charles Woodson, you know, as far as like getting him ready for a game. You know, whereas they're probably giving Jeron McMillan and MD Jennings a crash course here in how to defend the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, they just, you know, you assume Charles Woodson is going to be ready. I mean, he didn't play in last year's regular season finale against the Detroit Lions because they just held him out because, you know, they held all their star players out. They held Aaron Rodgers out because they had locked up home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But the last time Charles Woodson missed a game due to injury, 2007. So durable. He is such a good player. I mean, Charles Woodson might be my favorite football player of all time. He is my favorite football player of all time. I just love watching the guy. You know, I realize maybe this year he's kind of, you know, breaking down a little bit. That body isn't quite what it once used to be. He's lost a step. But, man, in Charles Woodson's prime, just think back to 2009 when he was the defensive player of the year in the NFL. How fun he is to watch, just grabbing interceptions, taking him to the house. The way he just so tough, he fills lanes, makes tackles, blitzes the quarterback. The way he swats at footballs to force fumbles. I mean, the guy is just a maniac on the defensive side of the football, and it's so fun to watch him. I will miss that. Those are, you know, certain things he can still do. Still a fearless, you know, guy in run support. I mean, for somebody who's not even that big, you know, at least compared to defensive linemen and linebackers, Charles Woodson is not afraid to fill a lane and make a tackle on a running back who's much bigger than him. He'll come right there, stick his nose in there, and it's, you know, Charles Woodson brings that to the Packers, no doubt about it. Protege for tight end says, I know he leads in missed tackles, but he makes a lot of good tackles too. Fair enough. Charles Woodson misses some tackles. He has his penalties. I know the negative side to Charles Woodson, but, you know, hey, I hope he gets healthy and just comes back and puts it all on the line for one last shot, perhaps, at a Super Bowl. This could be Charles Woodson's last year. I don't know. Maybe that's a topic for another day, another time. But certainly in the back of everybody's mind, perhaps a little bit, you know, where I don't know, maybe it's where Donald Driver is this year is where Charles Woodson will be next year. Could the Packers want him back, but for a reduced contract? Protege for tight end says on the live blog, if we win the Super Bowl, he will retire. Interesting to think about. We'll see. But anyway, it's past 9 o'clock. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here this morning, folks. You know, thanks for Rob Domofsky for joining us on the show this morning. On behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Kirivu. We'll be back on Monday. Make sure to check us out then. Brett Goode will be back for another segment of Oh Snap with Brett Goode. We'll be talking about his newly signed contract extension. So check that out then, but also make sure to check out all the coverage throughout the weekend as the Packers get ready to take on the Jaguars as well. So, on behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm your host, Brian Kirivu. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Ocean Billy by Umphrey's McGee on Side Fidelity Records. I'm off to see Umphrey's McGee in concert tonight in Milwaukee. If you're in the area, I suggest you go. It's going to be an awesome show, so I'm pumped up for that tonight. But we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go!